Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CJ Nitkowski is with me on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's up, CJ? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Bill. What's going on?
A lot going on. A busy time of the year, as you know. And the Indians are playing your Rangers.
That's right. Lucky for them. It's been a little bit of a rough go of it in Texas this year.
Wow. I mean, it has been. And why have they been so bad at home, CJ, you think?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because they're actually swinging the bats a little bit better and scoring runs at home, and there's a couple of guys that have been hitting better here at home. But, you know, it's a tough division. That's probably something that has to do with it a little bit for the Rangers. I mean, you think about how good the Astros are, they're just obviously one of the best in the American League. But the A's have made a really nice run this year. The Seattle Mariners are a good team. The Angels, even though they've fallen back, are certainly a team that can be difficult to contend with sometimes. So it probably is a little bit more reflective of the division. And they're done with the Astros at home already. I mean, they finish up a series. They play them at the end of the month, and they're done with them for the year. They don't play in the last couple of months. So it could be the balance of schedule as well.
When you're obviously, you know, in your career, you've been on good teams, been on bad teams. You look at the Rangers, they're 22 games. You look at the Orioles, they're 39 and a half games out. My God. They're 16 games behind the Blue Jays. When you're on a team that's that bad, and you know, it's not football where if you're bad, at least you only got to play once a week. When you got to play every day and you're coming back from the All-Star break and you know you got 60, 70 games left and your team is just hideous, how tough is that?
It can be really difficult, and it all depends on what your status is as a player as well, as far as how you can treat it. It's very easy to get caught up in the losing culture. I talk about this a lot when we talk about teams that rebuild, and the one thing you get really weary of is guys get too comfortable losing, and they just kind of, not that they throw in the towel. I mean, they're still big leaguers, but the losing culture is not a great one. I'm also very reluctant to judge guys on how they act. Things maybe that they say during that time, because losing brings out the worst in you because you're miserable. But what happens is you got to really try to stay focused on what's best for you. And as much as we talk about this being a team sport, it's a pretty good time to get selfish. Doesn't mean you blow off your teammates. Doesn't mean you don't try to be a team player. But it's okay to think about your own personal situation a little bit more. Maybe that's going to keep you motivated to get through the year. You know, maybe you're headed to free agency. Maybe you're a guy that's arbitration eligible for the first time. Maybe you're a guy that's on the fence of making the team next year, and you're going to get a couple of months in the big leagues now to show what you can do. And so you try to dig in a little bit and, you know, figure out a way to maybe motivate yourself based on maybe some on personal goals in your own situation.
We're talking with former big leaguer, now with FS1 and MLB Network Radio, CJ Nitkowski. CJ, obviously the big trade yesterday for the Indians. They get Brad Hand and rookie Adam Simber. I love the deal, even though they trade their top prospect, Francisco Mejia. What was your reaction when you heard about the deal?
Yeah, I thought it was a great one, too. I mean, you know, it was such a surprise that the Indians' bullpen was as bad as it's been this year. And obviously, injuries have been an issue, and subtractions as well have really kind of contributed to that. But, you know, this is a great job because not only does it help for now, much like the Andrew Miller trade did a couple of years ago, but it also gets you a little bit more confident about the future, right? I mean, these are guys that are under control for a while. Five more seasons, and I think it's five more total, or between the two of them, somewhere around there. Either way, regardless, you got to control these guys going forward for a decent amount of time to go along with already some players that you have locked in. And so I love it for the long term. I love it for the short term. I obviously need some help in Cleveland from the left side. Brad Hand is a guy that was going to get traded most likely. Such an interesting story, but it made sense for the Padres to try to go big and use him to get them a piece that could help them a little bit more in the future. Because when you're a team that's in the position they're in, you really don't need your relievers, your good ones, nearly as much as you will when you're ready to contend. So I love that from that standpoint. And, you know, it's interesting, too, with Simber, just, you know, these guys are two different looks, right? You got a lefty that's got a good velocity with a good slider, not as hard as Andrew Miller, but it's a good left-handed arm. And then you got the right-handed sidearmer, right, who gives you that kind of sidearm look and keep the ball on the ground really well, probably a guy wouldn't mind having him with runners on base to try to get you that double play and beat up righties. Lefties have been pretty good against him this year, but I love the different looks as well and just the idea of getting deeper because the bullpen had been such an issue in Cleveland.
CJ, you know, you talk about he's a sidearmer, and, you know, I've watched him pitch, and it's really bizarre. He takes his front foot and he points it backwards towards center field. One, have you ever seen anybody do that? And would you, like, with it, you know, and he's kind of come out of nowhere this year, and he's done a nice job. He's an older rookie, but would you be worried about his mechanics because of, you know, just the odd way he sets up, or no?
Not really. I mean, there's so many guys, right, that do so many kind of weird things. You would watch Chris Sale pitch, you'd be like, oh, this guy, you know, if you didn't know any better, you'd be like, this guy's never going to make it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he goes across his body. He's got the low arm angle. He doesn't look like he weighs 150 pounds. And it's been a non-issue to do this study. He's one of the best in the game. So I think when you're looking at Simber, what's interesting, you know, being a submariner and trying to be quick to the plate, he doesn't lift his leg up very high. And so he basically slide steps all the time. And so the idea there is he starts, I read a quote from him, and he said, basically, I start closed because I don't have enough time to get close because I want to be quicker to the plate to try to be better against holding runners. So it kind of makes sense. It's almost like, listen, if he was going to start straight up what we would consider a normal traditional pitching delivery, eventually you got to turn in. You turn in to create torque to try to get load on your back leg. Well, he just starts that way and tries to basically accelerate the process so that he can be better at holding runners on, and it's been something that's been effective for him.
You know, CJ, the Indians are not done with getting Simber, who you were just talking about, and Brad Hand. They probably need at least one outfielder. They've got no production at a center field, at a right field. Now, I think, you know, you got Sinshu Chu there, former Indian. Now, I don't think the Indians are going to go down that road because of his contract and because he's been extremely, you know, he's missed a lot of time over the years, although the last 2 years he's played a lot and obviously he's having a really great season. What do you think the market is for him? Well, you know, he's owed about, what, probably close to $50 million the mm-hmm. rest of this year and the next 2 years. He's playing well, but he's 35, and he's had injuries in the past.
Yeah, and he actually just turned 36 the other day, which is crazy to think. I mean, you know, when we look at, like, age season, right, that's kind of the new thing we do in baseball. We say, well, it's his age 35 season. If your birthday is before July 1st, it's considered that age. If it's after July 1st, then it's that age. He turned 36, like, a little bit after July 1st. So regardless, what he's doing at his age has been pretty amazing. And what's good about him, what makes you believe in what he's doing, right? You watch older guys, and you watch any guy for that matter. You say, okay, what is he doing right now? Can that actually last, right? You got a guy that's relying on his legs, you worry about him long term, right? Those kinds of things.
Yep.
But with Chu, he's still got unbelievable pitch recognition and understands the strike zone, knows the strike zone extremely well. You know those guys. You know, you watch guys like Joey Votto, guys that work counts. Jose Ramirez is good at, you know, pitches per plate appearance. They know the strike zone. And pitches that are on the edge that they know are off, when those pitches get called a strike, they get really mad. Right, because they work so hard to make sure that they understand the strike, so they're not free swingers. That's the situation he's in right now. He's doing it extremely well. The other thing is that he's really good on high velocities. You know, you saw him in the All-Star game, right? I mean, he lined a 97-mile-an-hour fastball from a lefty into left field. I mean, he has no problem. He is not going to get blown away. So he's short. He's quick to the ball. He's got really good pitch recognition, strike zone recognition, and he's added power. He's probably going to hit more home runs this year than any other year in his career. 22 is his career high. He's only five away from that.
Yeah.
There's a pretty good chance, just like Jose Ramirez, that he's going to set a new career high at the age of 36. So he's on top of his game right now. The question becomes the contract and how do you make this work? And I think for the Rangers, they're not just looking to move him. If they're going to eat a considerable amount of the contract, they're going to get something in return for it. They're not just going to try to dump the money. We saw it already, a smaller trade with them with the San Francisco Giants, where they took on Austin Jackson's contract. It was a smaller one. It was 2 years and $6 million. They took the rest of next year, plus what was remaining this year, just to designate him, just so they could buy a minor leaguer that they liked out of the San Francisco Giants system. So it would take something like that where he said, well, you're never going to give up something big for Chu. Well, the Rangers will ask for it if you're going to ask them to take on a bunch of that money. And I tell you what, I think it'd be a pretty good investment for a team if you're comfortable with the money you have to pay him over these next couple of years, man. This guy's still really, really good. You just got to make sure you have the DH at bats available for him because he can't play the outfield every single day.
Yeah, which is why probably the Indians aren't the right fit, but I do think you're right that that there will be a fit for him, no doubt. When you look at, you know, it's interesting. There aren't a lot of great options in the outfield because, you know, like you have guys like Chu who maybe don't have a great contract, and then you have other, you know, Adam Jones, but he's not playing great. There's not a lot of good outfielders on the market. Do you have guys you like?
Yeah, you know what, I tell you what, Whit Merrifield is a guy who can play the outfield.
Yeah,
you know, I know we look at him as more of an infielder, and he's a guy that's under control, and a lot of people like his bat. That might be a guy that could work. I mean, I saw what Melky Cabrera is up today. I mean, you never know. Maybe in Cleveland you get production out of him, enough production to make that happen. I don't know. But there aren't very many good options out there right now. Trading is becoming more and more difficult for teams. But I would certainly I think a guy like Whit Merrifield is one that sticks out because it gives you that multi-position flexibility as well.
Yeah, no doubt. CJ Nitkowski with us CJ, what did you think about the Manny Machado trade?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I thought, first of all, I thought the Dodgers did pretty well for themselves. And, you know, ultimately you'll see what happens on the back end. And I thought that I thought the Orioles did pretty well. I was so concerned because the Orioles are, you know, everyone keeps talking about how kind of dysfunctional they are in the front office. You're not exactly sure what's going on with, you know, with Dan Duquette and then how involved is Brady Anderson. And but they did great, man. I thought they got it together. And you start really digging in. I forget about prospect list. Like, prospect list, I get it. I don't make fun of those guys. I know they work hard. I know they do their best to, you know, go ahead and put a list together. But go back and look at your favorite team's prospect list from 2010 and 2005. And you're going to see why I'm telling you not to get too worked up about it. Because you just never know what's going to happen. And when you start digging in on the players that they got, you could see where you got a couple of big leaguers in there and a couple of different potential roles. So I thought they did well. The fact that they decided to make that deal happen now and not wait till you got closer to the end of the deadline, I think also is a signal that they said, "This, we're not going to get any better deal than this. Let's go ahead and pull the trigger right now." And I think that tells you that they have confidence, the Orioles do, in what they got in return. And, of course, Manny's going to make all the difference in the world for the Dodgers. He's been having an unbelievable offensive year. When you kind of look through his track record, he's been great. We know that. But if you dig in a little bit more, the area where he has struggled a little bit has been getting on base. He doesn't get on base at a particularly high average. He is this year, and going back to last year is pretty good as well. So he's made some pretty nice improvements with his discipline, his work rate, all that kind of stuff. He, you know what's interesting? We thought he'd be an awesome shortstop. He's been a good shortstop. And he's got an unbelievable arm. He's a better third baseman than he is a shortstop, and it's not even close.
Yep.
That's kind of interesting. And the Dodgers mentioned that they may use him at third a little bit, even though predominantly he'll be a shortstop.
I just, when you said that about the top 10 prospect list, I decided to Google your team, the Rangers' top 10 prospects in 2010. We've got Neftali Feliz.
Uh-huh.
Justin Smoke. He's an, you know, been an okay player.
Was he two?
He was two. Three is Martin Perez.
All right, not bad.
Well, he's having a terrible year this year, but after
I know, but you got big leaguers in there.
That's true.
There are big leaguers.
Yep. Four is Tanner Sheppers.
A lot of injuries, yeah.
Five, Wilmer Font.
Yeah,
Six is Michael Main. Never heard of him.
Uh-huh.
Seven's a good one, Mitch Moreland.
Very good,
Eight,
yeah.
Casey Kiker. Never heard of him. Nine, Robbie Ross. 10, Danny Gutierrez. So,
yeah, and that's not even, I'll tell you what, that's not bad. I actually look at that as that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Based on how it's gone. You go back, you're going to see some guys that are like 3 and 4 in teams that you never heard of. It's not a knock on the guys. It's just that it's such a difficult thing to predict. It's not a knock on the players. It's not a knock on the work that guys are doing. I hate to see fans get too worked up. It's hard to put the kind of time in.
Right.
But to say, well, he's not even on, you know, top this or top that. Jacob DeGrom was never on a prospect list, not once in his life.
Jose Ramirez.
Yeah. I mean, so don't, you know, it's not to say that. I mean, it makes you feel nice, right? I think that's the thing. It's like, oh, he's the third prospect. That makes me feel really good inside. I want my scouts to do their work because they don't go off of Baseball America's list.
That's
they
right.
look. They pay attention to that kind of stuff. And they don't. I'm not saying that they're insulting the guys that do the work. I don't want to see fans get worked up and get upset or a team get crucified because they didn't get the certain number prospect that fans were expecting.
You mentioned DeGrom there. I think the Mets would be crazy to trade him. I think they should try to lock him up long term. I mean, they are in New York. I think they've forgotten that for the last 10 years. But do you think they might trade him?
I think they have to consider it. The problem you run into is he's an older guy. And so, you know, they still have two more years of control, and to lock him up is how far deep do you want to pay him? I mean, you have him for two more years of arbitration if you want to go year to year after this year. I think he's fantastic. He's a great human being, great dude, great for the game, all that stuff across the board. But if you try to step away objectively and look at it, what would an extension really look like? Like, how far could you go? You buy out the last 2 years of arbitration, and then maybe you get 3 years of free agency on the high end before you put yourself in a really high risk situation. So I'm at least listening. You know, it's unfortunate because I think the Yankees do match up really well, but that means I want Sheffield. I want Andujar, and I want Clint Frazier, and maybe somebody else. Like, it has to be that big of a package.
That's right.
To make it happen. And I don't know if the Yankees are willing to do that again. But it's a guy at 3 years of control, and so you think about, you know, trades like Andrew Miller, when you had him for that run plus two more, and then what the return was there. It's got to be that and more to make it happen. So I would listen, but I'm not, you know, the question that the Mets have to ask themselves is how close are we really to getting this thing turned around? And it's tough, but you got to be honest with yourself. You got Cespedes there. You have Dave Bruce there. The David Wright money goes down. I know in terms of probably picking up a good chunk anyway, but it starts to go down next year, $15 million next year, the 12 the year after that. And so that burden starts to get lifted. And the question is, do you think you can contend over that time. You still have Noah Syndergaard. I'm not looking to do it unless someone says, hey, I got something that's going to knock your socks off. Then I'm going to listen. But trading him across town is probably a pipe dream because Mets fans will lose their mind.
Oh, my God, it'd be nuts. CJ, I mean, just incredible. Good to catch up with you as always, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, Bull. Take care.
CJ Nitkowski.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.